When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, and trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
What did David say? Why does my soul rise up within me? Is that what he said? What? When he was talking to his soul, he said, why art thou troubled in me? Or something like that. It is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been good to have the Bennetts here. Praise the Lord. Another blessing tonight. And I think we decided 15 years the Bennetts been coming here for revival services. Praise the Lord. And appreciate so much. I like it when our evangelists get to know our folks as good as I do. So that way when he stomps on your toes, he knows where he's going. Praise the Lord. So Brother Bennett, you come and preach to us tonight. Appreciate so much the message we've heard. The messages will, after tonight, be up on our internet webpage as well. If you didn't get the outlines off of Facebook.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Did you guys check that offering plate to see if there were any blueberries in there? I don't trust Deb. She's liable just to put some blueberries in there just to get me back as part of the offering. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'm glad you're here tonight. And the air conditioner's not working any better tonight than it was last night. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, boy, we didn't expect air conditioning in church at all back in those days. We went to sweat, and that's what we did. Amen. Now, that's not going to help me one bit, brother.
You think you just turned it off?
You turned it off?
Yeah, turned
it off. It's not going to help anybody at that rate.
You have to turn it.
Yeah, going like a C-130 the other day.
Well, praise the Lord.
Feel that?
No.
He knows calls.
Is it?
You should feel nice.
Brother Fenton, you're on the list tonight, man. I'll tell you what, at the home church, I have a big old fan just sitting there blowing on me. Not on anybody else, it's blowing on me. Yeah. Then I have a little fan right here that blows up in my face in case the big fan doesn't get there. Amen. You turn on the air conditioner in our church, everybody's complaining. Oh, it's so cold in here, so cold in here. So I don't turn on the air conditioner, I just blow the fan on me. Let these people sweat if they want to. Oh, it's so cold in here. I don't want to hear that. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And some of you will wonder, this is an odd passage of Scripture for revival. But you'll understand when we get down to the end. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And scroll your finger all the way down to verse 23 and we'll start reading there. And go to verse 26. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for those that have come out tonight. We're praising the Lord for the good things that you've done in our lives this week. Dear God, I just pray that you do a mighty work in our hearts tonight. You know exactly what we need. And I pray that you'd do the work, Lord. I pray that you'd use this old preacher one more time. And as your word goes forth, the Holy Spirit of God would use it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This do in remembrance of me. You know, I think about Memorial Day, what's coming up, and you know, Memorial Day has become quite a time to do other things other than what it was meant for. But Memorial Day, of course, we look forward to the races. We look forward to cooking out and doing all those type of things. But we go to the cemeteries, and what's really sad to go to a cemetery and put flowers on a loved one's grave, and then you see all the graves that have no flowers. Where nobody went and put a flower or anything at the grave. And I find that very heart-wrenching. Or nobody cared enough to come, or maybe there's nobody left. I don't know. I'm not judging anybody, but the fact of the matter is that it just seems odd that somebody didn't come and put a flower on the grave. But I think about this time of year for that very express purpose. Now, it wasn't the holiday wasn't begun to remember just anybody. It was begun to remember our veterans who gave their lives. And, of course, we do that. And this day and age, that's one of the things I really appreciate about what has taken place in the last few years, that we've put more emphasis on the veterans and what they've accomplished. And I want to tell you something. It wasn't for brave veterans that gave their lives in the wars that we've been through, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we have today. So we ought to praise the Lord for them. But this night that we are gathered here in this revival meeting is the last night. And we've preached about a few things along the way. And if you'll remember Sunday morning, we talked about the name of Jesus. There's none other name like that name. And that's what I want to do tonight, is preach in memory of what he's accomplished for us. But we human beings have a problem. And that problem is remembering. We have a tendency to forget the important things, you know. I look back on my life and I remember when I was a kid, all the ornery things I did that, you know, I remember those things that didn't mean anything, you know, but the important things are the ones I struggle to remember. Those important things in my life that I should grab a hold of and say, man, do you remember the time that old preacher came in? Boy, I remember talking about old preachers. I don't even know what happened to him, but there was a big old preacher by the name of D.L. Fruits. And I'll never forget, he was in, I believe, World War II and had his right leg blown off in World War II. He was a big man, big. And he'd come in, he had crutches, they'd come to church and stand behind that pulpit, and he had a stool that he put his stump on. Well, every time he put his stump on that stool, it'd go thunk, you know, and he'd get to preach and he'd be thunking all the time. But I remember as a kid, I was just a kid, and he'd come up to church, and he's driving a Volkswagen Bug. His right leg was gone. Folks, how do you drive a Volkswagen Bug? You have to shift the gears. You're going to have to put the clutch down, do all those things, and a Volkswagen Bug. But that's the way he came to church. And I'll never forget D.L. Fruits. Boy, he could beller it out. And boy, I just loved D.L. Fruits. And that's when I got in the habit of sitting in the front row listening to the preacher and getting spit on. And I thought it was just rain, you know, the blessings of God coming down. But what a time we had. But I have a tendency to forget some of those great times. I forget the messages. I forget the men of God that came through. I forget the great pastor I had when I was a kid. And I forget the pastor that, you know, Harold Day was a tremendous man of God. And I'll never forget the hottest day of the year in August. And he preached on hell. Had the nerve to preach on hell that hot day. And that was what brought me down to the altar. And he put his arm, I'll never forget, Brother Harold Day put his arm around me. He said, "What do you need, son?" I said, "Well, I don't want to go to hell." He said, "Well, you need Jesus." And he led me to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And boy, it's exciting. But you know, a lot of those things you forget. And you know, the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, as long as I'm, this is my paraphrase, okay? This is the CJB version, okay? Now, as long as I live, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. I'm going to stir up your memory. I want to keep reminding you of what Jesus did for you. And folks, I want you to understand something. A lot of times we come to church and we just don't understand, you know, what's that preacher keep preaching the same thing all? He's just reminding you.
Amen.
Just reminding you. Some time ago, when I was pastoring up north here, I had a guy that was in the military, and he says, "Man, I've come to this church for 6 months and you preach the same message every Sunday morning." I said, "Well, eventually you're going to get it." Why? Because I'm stirring up their memory. Get them stirred up. And folks, that's what we need. You know, over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, just before, not for verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as man or some. The verse just before that, verse 24, that we might provoke one another. Yeah. You know what that provoke is? That's like one of those sticks that they had with a point on it to move the oxen along. You know, an oxen's so stupid it won't turn unless you inflict pain on it. And so you have to inflict this pain. And so that's what we do here in church. We use those prods to prick you. That, you know, Jesus said to Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's so hard for us Christians because, boy, you got me today, preacher. Beat me over the head with the Word of God. No, that's that prod that I'm using there. That's the Holy Spirit of God trying to get a hold of you. Trying to get you to move in the right direction. Quit acting like an ox. And turn, amen. Turn ye this day. Oh, we need to remember. This do in remembrance of me. Now I want to take the word memorial. We'll preach quick. You listen quick. Amen. And we'll be done before you know. The M in memorial. It's our memory. Stir up our memories. Help us to remember. When was the last time you just bowed your head and said, Lord, help me to remember. I don't want to forget what Jesus did for me. Help me to remember. Help me to remember parents that loved me enough to take me to church.
Yeah.
I never rode a bus. Never had to. I didn't get pawned off on somebody else going to church. My mom and dad took me to church.
Right.
You know, I remember when I was a kid that mom and dad would get up. I don't care if it was snowing, raining. Whatever it was doing, we went to church.
Amen.
And my dad would kill himself getting to church. If I had to dig through snow drifts, he'd get us to church. We went
Amen.
To church.
Amen.
Sometimes I thought we were at church more than the preacher was. We were always at church. They were doing a project of some kind. We were at church. They had a missions conference. We were at church. They had revival. We were at church. We were always at church. And I'm glad now that I can stand here before you and honestly say that I had parents that loved me enough to get me to church. When I was a pastor, and I can remember knocking on doors and having somebody say, oh, we don't want our kids to get burnt out on church. Listen, my parents weren't concerned about me getting burnt out on church. I think they wanted to burn me out somehow. They got me to church.
Amen.
There was no concern there. Folks, I want you to understand something. I'm glad I had it. Those type of helped me to remember them.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we have a tendency to remember the time mom yelled at us or we got a spanking for this or that. I want to remember the time that they took me to church.
Amen.
When my mom passed away in 1999, she had asked that I do the funeral. One of the hardest things to do in all the world is to do your mother's funeral.
Yeah.
And but I remember telling the folks that in that little church, I said, Mom made sure I was in church. Our Saturday nights, we didn't sit around watching TV. We polished shoes.
Amen.
We got our clothes out.
Yeah.
We took baths. And then, you know what? We took baths, and then Mom inspected us after we got out of the bath.
That's right.
And then she'd dig in our ears and get all that wax out of there. And she'd, I'd say, well, you know, picking corn, I think she said, called it, and getting that out of my ears. And we, listen, we got ready. And then on Sunday morning, we didn't say, what are we going to do today? We knew what we were going to do.
Amen.
Got up on Sunday morning, and boy, she slicked our hair down, and she helped us put our clothes on, and the tie got all straight. And she made us, and if our cheeks weren't red enough, she'd slap them so they'd be red enough, and we got to church. I want to remember that. I want to remember that. I wanted to give my kids something to remember. And I wanted to make sure that I passed that on to my kids. And as I was raising our kids, I want to tell you something. They went to church. I remember one Easter, our middle son, Paul, he was so sick. That poor kid. He said, Dad, I can't go to church. And I felt him. He was burning up. I said, well, this is Easter. You're going to church. He said, Dad, I'm really sick. I can't go. I said, you're going to church. Get your clothes on. You're going to church. And we went to church, and we put him back in the back in a corner, kind of covered him up. But he was in church. About middle of church, I was preaching away, and all of a sudden we heard, splat, splat, splat. But he went to church. Amen. And he still talks about that to this day. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I got something across to my kids. It was important to go to church. I remember my dad, he was up in years. And he was sitting at the table with us one night. We'd just finished supper. Dad didn't call it a meal until he had a bowl of ice cream. He was still eating his ice cream.
Right.
And I said to him, I was pastoring a church, and I said to him, Dad, why was it you made sure we always went to church? And he said to me, he says, well, I was afraid of what God would do to us if I didn't take you to church.
Amen.
That's the fear of God that was in his heart.
Amen.
Boy, I want to remember that.
Yes. Amen.
Memories, stir up our memories and remember. You know what's so sad? I'm going to tell you the sad thing that's happened in this day and age that we live in. All these kids, they don't have those memories. What'd you do on Sunday morning? Oh, I played video games, went fishing, I did this, I did that. None of them go to church. All these kids out there playing, riding their bikes, doing whatever they do on Sunday morning, but they don't go to church anymore.
Right.
Folks, I want the kids to go to church. I want them to have the memories I had about church.
That's
I'm
right.
not concerned about anybody getting burnt out about church. I want to get them there.
That's right.
Stir up our memory. The E in memorial is eyes. Notice what it says here in... Where does it say it? It says it here somewhere. Let's read this again. Look at verse 24. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is in the New Testament, in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Ye do show. That's a visual. That's something you can see.
Amen.
The bread, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and by the way, the Lord's Supper is a local church ordinance. And I'm not talking about the mystic, invisible church. I'm talking about something that you can actually see when the folks gather together in church. And the bread is a visual picture of his body. And if you look over there, what was the purpose of his body? I mean, after all, this is God. This is our Creator that came to this earth. What was the purpose of the body? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, it was a body that was used as a sacrifice. It was the ultimate sacrifice. And it was the sacrifice that was laid down once.
Right. Amen.
It is a visual of the body, the broken body. You go back over there in Isaiah 52. I mean, he was so bloody and bruised and broken up that you couldn't even recognize him as a man. That's a visual as we look at the broken body there in the bread. We see, ye do show the Lord's death. Ye do show that. It's something that you can see. And the cup, that juice, that we pass around. It's a visual, it's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't actually drink the blood. It doesn't transubstantiation, consubstantiation. It doesn't become the blood of Christ. That's never going to happen. But it's a picture, something that we see. It's a visual. And the blood is important, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we're cleansed from all sin.
Amen.
It's the blood, and that we can see that visual. That's why it's so important then the Lord's Supper to be observed. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But to be observed, because it's something that we stir up our memories and we look back to the cross of Calvary. And it's something that we never want to forget, what Jesus Christ went through for us.
Amen.
And when I say us, take it personally. This is what he did for me. His broken body, it was broken for me. His shed blood, it was shed for me. And you can take it just as personally. He did it for you. Regardless of what the Calvinist may think, it was for every person in this world. There's not a person in this world that cannot be saved.
Right.
It's a visual. You do show. And then there's the M, the next M. It's a marker. You know, there are markers that we see along the way. And I think of the Christian markers that we see. It doesn't have to be a good church, but it's if it's got a cross on it. That's a marker. We see the cross. And I love driving over here in New York with the hills. And you go over here and you see all these little churches. And you can see them as you come up over a hill. And there's the first thing you see in these little villages is that church. And you see that cross at the top. Listen, it's a marker. And regardless of the church, they may not even preach the gospel anymore. But in reality, they don't know it. They are preaching the gospel. Because that cross is there, and it's a marker. The steeple is a marker, and that steeple points to Jesus and points to heaven.
Amen.
And there is a way. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, I believe it is, that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. People drive by those little buildings, and whether they're Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, it really doesn't matter, because they're pointing people to Jesus, to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, by the way.
Right.
And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and that cross that's on the top of that church. They're still preaching the gospel. They're markers. And then the church itself is a marker. You look at the church. I know this used to be a schoolhouse, but people drive by here and they say, well, there's where those crazy Baptists meet. And, those crazy Baptists, but they're still the ones that know the way to Jesus. They still know how to get to heaven.
Amen.
If you want to get saved, go down there and talk to a Baptist. They'll tell you how to get saved. It's a marker. Then baptism is a marker of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it. And you see it as we observe those things. And buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Boy, I like that. It's not a sprinkle thing.
Right.
It's an immersion thing.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee if you have a dog that dies and you take that dog out in your backyard and you sprinkle some dust on it, your neighbors are going to call you up and say, do something about that dead body you got out there. It's starting to stink. Well, if it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't sprinkle water on it. You take him under the water. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried! You take him under that water.
Amen.
When I was baptizing my son, Paul, and I put him under the water, and his leg came up out of the water. And I was pushing one leg down, holding him down on the other side. He about drowned him to death that day, but I was assured that God would raise him up again. Praise the Lord. It's a marker. Then the Lord's Supper is a marker. It's a marker. It's a marker of the death and the broken body and his shed blood. Well, I don't know about you, but I get excited about these things. In memorial. It's observance. You know, we Christians have a way of observing things. Christmas. We observe Christmas. I love Christmas time, don't you?
Yes.
Some of us do. You go out to Missouri, there's some places out there. You don't talk about Christmas at a Baptist church because
we don't believe in Christmas. Jesus wasn't really born around Christmas time.
It doesn't make any difference when he's born. I don't care.
Amen.
We're talking about Jesus. And at Christmas time, whether he's born December 25th or not, it doesn't make any difference. The whole world's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Come on. Oh, it's too materialistic. Too materialistic. All this stuff. We're still talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. No. That time of year when we really upset the liberals by putting those nativity scenes out. Man, those nativity scenes, boy, they get mad about that. Boy, I want to tell you something. We're still talking about Jesus. It's been a long time since Jesus was here, but we're still talking about him.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, how do you know it's true? We're still talking about him.
Yeah.
If it wasn't true, we wouldn't be talking about him.
Right.
It died a long time ago. So Christmas, Easter. We celebrate Easter. Up from the grave he arose. I love Easter.
Yeah.
No, I don't celebrate Good Friday. I celebrate Good Wednesday. He's on a Thursday thing. But the thing of it is, I celebrate Easter. I love Easter. I got to tell you, when I was up north pastoring, there was a lady that showed up on Easter. I'd never seen her before. I don't know where she actually lived. And she brought her kids, and they sat right on the front row. I welcomed her, I shook her hand, I said, good to see you. She said, I'm very faithful to this church. I said, really? I've never seen you here before. I've been there for about a year. That was my first Easter and I said, I've never seen you here before. Oh, yeah, I come every Easter. And you know what? I was up there for 15 years. She came every Easter. She was there, very faithful. But you know what? That people celebrate that. And that's good. It's an observance. It's something that we ought to celebrate. We ought to get excited about those things. I think we ought to get stirred up. I think we ought to get excited. I love Easter. When I was a kid, we'd go to church and the women would dress up in their very, very best spring outfits. They'd wear hats and, I mean, frilly things. And somebody said, oh my goodness, they wore their white gloves. Remember those days? And they'd come to church and boy, they looked so pretty and all those nice things, all because it was Easter. I remember my mom saying to Dad, I got to get some new shoes. And he said, well, why? You've got a whole closet full of shoes. Oh no, I need new shoes for Easter. So he'd go out and buy her new shoes for Easter. Folks, there's nothing wrong. I don't see anything wrong with that. I remember up in Black River, I got to tell you something. We went to Easter service and it was warm. And while we're in there celebrating Easter, it started snowing. We got 6 inches of snow before we were done. All these frilly dresses people were wearing and everything, they didn't have any coats. We could hardly get the door open. There was so much snow on the ground. When it snowed in Black River, I want to tell you something. Snow. But the fact of the matter is, the observance. Folks, the Lord's Supper, when we observe that, it's like celebrating Easter.
Yeah.
It's like celebrating Christmas. We observe that. Oh, that's the most precious thing. As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And then the R, memorial, it's reverence. It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Look, if you will, hold your finger there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we probably will come back to that. But look over in the book of Psalms. I know you know these verses. And what I'm talking about tonight, you know it all anyhow. So nothing new is coming out tonight. But look in the book of Psalms and go to Psalm 95. And you know this verse too, but this is good stuff. And I'm just trying to stir up your memories anyhow. Notice what it says here in Psalm 95. When we do these things, the Lord's Supper, baptism, Easter, Christmas, whatever it may be, and we observe those things. We're doing it in reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ and God. We're doing it as an act of worship. Notice what it says here in verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Amen.
Oh, come and let us worship together. You know, I think that many times we Christians, we miss out on the great things that God has given us the opportunity to do. Oh, we complain and, you know, Christmas has become too materialistic. Well, maybe it has, but I want to tell you something. We still celebrate Christmas because we love Jesus.
Amen.
I still love seeing the nativity scenes.
Yeah,
amen. And Easter. I love celebrating Easter and the Lord's Supper. You know, when our church celebrates the Lord's Supper, we keep it simple. We don't try to complicate things. We just keep it as simple as can. And the deacons don't even get involved. I don't even let them get involved. It's my job. And I'm the one that passes out the bread. I'm the one that passes out the juice. Folks, and we do it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, an act of worship.
Amen.
You know, we talk about revival, and I guarantee you that would bring revival if we just started worshiping Jesus.
Amen.
And then it's the institution or the instruction, actually, the instruction. In verse 23, back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." The Apostle Paul says, "I've instructed you in this." And we have been instructed in this. And because we have been instructed, and it's right there in the Word of God, we need to be busy about doing these things because we've received that instruction. I remember when I was in Bible school, and I'm surprised I was awake because I worked nights and went to Bible school in the daytime and had an early class at a God-forbidden time at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I can remember going to class. I had pastoral theology. And pastoral theology, most of the time it was easy to sleep through, but there was certain times that they'd try to get us involved so we didn't sleep through every class. But the fact of the matter is, I can remember him talking about the Lord's Supper, and the observance of the Lord's Supper and serving the Lord's Supper and the importance of it and so on and so forth. That's what pastoral theology was all about. Those particular things that many people would just overlook. And then when you become a pastor, you think, oh man, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. What do I do next? Or, oh no, somebody in the church died. What do I do now? Pastoral theology was for that. They try to prepare you for that work that you are about to enter into. And I want to tell you something. You're never ready for somebody to die in the church.
Right.
I don't care how many years you've been in the ministry. You're not ready for that. Especially somebody that's very close to you that dies in the church. And as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, I forgot everything they taught me in pastoral theology. But the fact of the matter is that I knew it was important. And I understood that it was a sacred time. And I taught the people at the church the same thing. This is very sacred. Not a time to joke. Not time for the kids to fight whether they're going to get bread or not. You make sure those kids, if they haven't been saved and baptized, don't touch it.
Amen.
It's not time for that. Right. Let's just worship God. We've received the instruction. Then I look back here in the book of Exodus. The A in memorial, it's an answer. It's an answer. Look in the book of Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Notice what it says here in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26. We're going to read verse 27 also. But it says, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped." You know something? When we observe the Lord's Supper, you think about this. There's going to be a little one that's going to pull your sleeve and say, "What's all this about? What are we doing here? How come I can't? How come I can't have it? What's going on?" And sometimes you can see the kids doing that, and they're pulling on Dad's sleeve. "Dad, what's going on here? Dad better have an answer." You know what? Too many dads say, "Oh, it's just something we do." That's not a good answer. The answer really should be, "Listen, this is a celebration of what the Lord did for us. We were in bondage to sin. And he delivered us from that bondage."
Amen.
And we're looking back to see how he did it. We see his broken body and shed blood. Now, does the kid understand it? Maybe not. But someday he will.
Amen.
We need to have an answer. Listen, too many times we just keep putting off the kids. But they really have a question.
Yes. Right.
Answer the question. Don't put them off. This is an important time that we can instruct them in the things of God. And it's an important time. And then, back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I hope you marked that because I should have told you we're going back to that. But the L in memorial is longevity. And verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We're not instructed, as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, we're not instructed on how many times to do it a year. We're really not instructed in that. I pastored a church that we had the Lord's Supper once a month. I pastored a church where we had it once a quarter. I pastored a church when we only had it once a year. My feeling is if we do it every Sunday, it loses its importance. And it's not the... We lose the meaning somehow. And but I don't mind doing it once a month. I don't mind that at all. I don't mind doing it once a quarter. I think once a year is not enough. But that's just my thoughts. As a pastor, the pastor has the right to make the decision on that, how often you serve the Lord's Supper. But it doesn't matter how often you do it a year, but how long till Jesus comes back. We are instructed in that. And by the way, He's coming again.
Amen.
And we better be busy about His business.
Amen.
And the church better be looking back as well as looking forward.
Amen.
Now I want to show you one more thing. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is where we really get down. This is where the rubber meets the road. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Verses 27 through 31. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I believe the Lord's body here is the church. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Our responsibility is to examine ourselves, make sure we're right with God. Problem is with human beings and human nature is that we're too easy on ourselves. If you really look in these verses, you're going to find out you're to be hard on yourself. The word judge really means you dig deep. And be harder on yourself than you would be on anybody else. You know, we have a tendency to look at somebody and say, would a Christian act that way? Would a Christian do the things that person's doing? Would a Christian talk that way? Well, look in the mirror. Would a Christian do what I've been doing? Would a Christian act the way I've been acting? Would a Christian harbor in their heart the things that I've been harboring in my heart? Would a Christian think the thoughts that I've thought? Listen, we need to examine ourselves, and that examination needs to dig deep. And we need to get right with God. Listen, there will never, never, never be a revival as long as we're harboring sin in our life.
Amen.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But He will hear the prayer of repentance. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm wicked, vile, no good. I'm not worth the powder and lead to blow me up. God, please wash me and cleanse me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to partake of the Lord's Supper, and I want to remember what You did for me on the cross of Calvary. And I want to be right when I do this. And by the way, if you partake of the Lord's Supper by not being right, you affect the whole church. It says not discerning the Lord's body. You affect everybody. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Don't blame me. Don't shoot the messenger. That's the message from the Word of God. Directly from God. I want you to look over here, and we're going to close with these verses. Over in the book of Psalms, go to Psalm 139. You know these verses. You know them. But look down here in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, search me. It doesn't say, search my wife or search my husband. It doesn't say, search my kids. It doesn't say, search the pastor or the evangelist. It says, search me. Oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, that, those words aren't there. That's the CJB version. Mm-hmm. And if there is, lead me in the way everlasting. Oh my goodness, dear God, look in my heart. See what's there. Let me know about it. Expose it to me. Help me, Lord, to get right with you. By the way, you read those two verses. You ever read the first verse of that chapter? He already knows you. Notice it says in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and the Bible says, who can know it? Well, the next verse says, the Lord. He knows us. And by the way, He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Right.
That's why it's important for us to ask Him to search us out and show us the sin that's in our life. Folks, if we want revival, we've got to put the sin on the altar. We can't pick it up and take it home with us. We've got to get serious. Listen, too many people are playing church. Too many people are playing with this thing called repentance and confession. They confess a sin and they pick it right back up and they take it home with them.
Yep.
It's a game. It's a game. Oh, I did what God wanted me to do. No, you didn't. You picked it right back up. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please, bring it to the altar. That's the message. If we're ever going to have revival, the sin has to be put on the altar. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Our precious Lord and Savior, we do love You. Dear God, Holy Spirit of God, search us out. Help us, Lord, to understand that we've got sin in our lives. Oh, the preacher didn't point out all that sin, but the Holy Spirit sure can. Please, dear God, help us to do what we need to do. Help us to come to this old-fashioned altar and help us to pour out our heart to You and leave here forgiven, rejoicing in the fact that it's all behind us. Please, dear God, do a work right now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Amen. Altars are open, 308 in our songbook. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Pray that second verse. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasure.